This is Sound and Vision on KEXP. Hollis released a new album on Friday. Here's a conversation she had with Larry Mizell Jr. back in October about the making of the record.
I am so pleased to be sitting here with my good friend, Hollis, who is an amazing solo artist, has been rocking for years as part of Flavor Blue. Before that, The Heartfelt. Hey, I got ammunition on you. Before that, a group called Canary Sing.
Plop 2 coins in the slot and observe what you got. I'm a full-time professional freaking how I was taught.
Also done mad joints with Don't Talk to the Cops, my own band. We're all love family up in here.
True.
Hollis has been doing her thing. She's based out in Los Angeles these days. Was going back and forth for a minute. You have a new album.
Yes.
Subliminal.
Yes.
I assume you made most of that during the pandemic.
I did. I made it all during the pandemic. Okay. There was like a good stretch of time, like from March to October, that I felt completely incapacitated in terms of making music. Like, I've always known that I'm a collaboration junkie and I love just feeding off the energy of people. And so when that possibility was removed to be able to share physical space with people in the creative process, I felt entirely stuck. And it felt like a death of sorts. I was just like, oh, okay, I don't even know if I can be an artist if I can't, like, if I'm physically isolated. So the pandemic for me was a journey and, like, really kind of forcing myself, or not even forcing myself, but just challenging myself to step into my own autonomy as a creator. Mm. And what I realized, I mean, surprise, like, being creative helped me process and understand and, like, tear open the lid of like how I was truly feeling and all of the complex emotions that each of us were dealing with during the pandemic. And I think the album, it truly is like a testament and an artifact of those emotions and that processing of self. Yeah. So a lot of Zoom sessions, a lot of me tracking myself on a Shure 7B microphone and sending wave files and just learning how to be a more self-contained and self-motivated creator. It was really hard, but I am thankful for the lesson amidst all of the BS that we all had to experience.
Yeah. Speaking of collaboration and the producers you were working with, I know one the lead single off of Subliminal came out in September. You worked on with producer Ryan Lewis. Was that a Zoom session? Did you do that?
That was the one session that we did in person, and we like all got, it was myself, Ryan Lewis, and his new studio in LA where he moved to during the pandemic, my girl Keely Bumford, aka Dressage, who's an amazing producer. We all got swabbed, we got COVID tested twice before we got in the studio, and it was each of our like first session with people since March, and we were just like, ah, it's happening. Definitely what resulted from the session was definitely like our pandemic anthem.
It is anthemic too.
And it was the first time that Ryan and I have worked on anything for me. I worked with Ryan over 10 years ago as a music video producer and then a songwriter and then a featured singer, and I've worked with him a lot, and it was always for the Macklemore and Ryan Lewis project, which was a gift and like taught me so much about how to do the hustle and do the do. But yeah, it's a different dynamic when you're working on my artist project that I'm just getting comfortable and like stepping into and owning and claiming, and then to work with such like a demanding, in the best way, collaborator. Yeah. Like somebody who really, this is not a dude that's just building the beat and just being like, let me know when you wrote it and we're going to track it. Like, it's every word, it's every line, it's every note. Like, there's a rigor to his process. And it was, definitely a paradigm shift to be able to work on it and for me to have to take autonomy. Like, I'm not actually just the person, the collaborator that's here to accommodate, which is a very safe, like, comfortable place for me to be. It was cool. It was dope. And I'm hella proud of the way that the song came out. And Ryan is such a thorough producer and engineer. And we probably did, like, 6 hours of vocal tracking for him to, like, create what we ended up creating. And, he poured so much like love and hours into the project as well that I'm really thankful for.
And the name of that song?
It's called Let Me Not. Like, let me not.
Let me not right now.
Let me not bring down the vibe.
let me not tell you that that song is a banger.
Thank you.
Made me really happy to hear. Great, great sound. You're really tapping into this vintage rock sound. You sound really great with that. And the video is fantastic. You're really tapping into that energy, kind of a grungy basement show vibe. And you directed that video.
I did.
Tell me about that.
So I started in music, in music video production, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was rapping with Canary Sing. Like, yeah. We were doing our shows and doing our thing. But, like, I think when I see my first, like, quote-unquote industry job as having worked on production with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis on Wings and then Thrift Shop, I, like, inserted myself. I was like, I will produce this. And they're like, okay. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come-up. This is... I feel really comfortable on music video sets. I love the just like the DIY, like frenetic adrenaline energy. It's like being on tour times five, like packed into like a day or 2 days. And I love creating visuals. And I think as I thought about this process, I mean, first of all, it's like, well, I'm the cheapest option as a director, right? So as an independent artist, I'm like, who? All right, it'll be me. But I think for me, again, like my tendency to want to facilitate and create consensus and that kind of thing, like that's big producer energy, right? Yeah. So for me, challenging myself to step into a director, it's like, oh no, Hollis, like you're not just good at executing, like you can have a vision too. Mm-hmm. Like you can build out a world, you can build out the creative. And as I did, I had the great fortune of just thinking about, okay, like I could shoot this in LA and the locations, like if I want to shoot in a theater, it's going to be mad expensive. Like it's just going to be a struggle because everywhere in LA, everywhere is a set. Everywhere is like, this is my day rate.
Right.
But in Seattle, it's like, I have deep relationships here and I can like, I mean, I can make, Seattle, we can make anything happen, like that's literally anything. So I was like, oh no, let's shoot this back in Seattle, like where I started, like where I came up. As a music video producer, as an artist, Seattle is the reason why I am who I am, full stop, period. And I realized, I was like, oh, I'm creating a love letter to Seattle. This music video, you know, we wrote this song. I wrote this song with Pacific Northwest people in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's like our heart, our home is here. It's here in Seattle. And so I did really want to channel, you know, the legacy of rock and grunge in Seattle as well, and do an homage to that. We shot in the historic Moore Theater downtown, which was an epic day. We got wild shots. Shout out to my cinematographer, Ed Tran, who like went above and beyond to make that super cinematic. And then we did these like epic ass shots at Magnuson Park. So it was just like, I was like, let's just like, yeah, create this love letter, create this homage, create this like beautiful dark postcard from the city that I love and who makes me who I am. And I got to step into my creative leadership and like flesh out a vision. And it was just so richly rewarding, just that process, the 2 days that we used to shoot it and all of the like untold hookups that all sorts of folks, like everybody hooked it up to make that come to life. And it was, it's so deeply rewarding for me as a creative.
Well, I'm really glad that you came back here and did it. Right away, it reminded me of seeing you in a play. I saw you in, where was that? Was that the...
Act Theater.
Act Theater, yeah. That's right. These Streets, Greta Harley, who was in that video.
Yeah.
Another love letter to the grunge era. So it was very appropriate. That was a great callback.
Thanks. Yeah, I was really fortunate to be in that original musical inspired by the Seattle... The women of Seattle grunge, women of Seattle rock. A lot of those women would be like, F grunge, grunge.
Right.
But that was actually my own education because I came up in hip hop, right? Mm-hmm. You already know. Yeah. You saw me as a child wandering about these Capitol Hill streets.
These streets.
Yeah,
them streets.
But, you know, like I came up in Seattle, like very, very engrossed in the Seattle hip hop scene. And obviously I knew of Nirvana and I knew of like Pearl Jam, but I wasn't really that well versed in like the true like like underground or independent or like whatever, however you would call it at the time, like the real like rock scene.
Yeah.
And moreover, I mean the untold history of the women in that scene, right? Like learning about the Gits. Learning about 7 Year Bitch. I knew about Riot Girl, but I had not really understood about like the culture like within Seattle itself. And that play really sought to tell those stories, and being cast in that play, you know, it's hella funny though, because I don't know if you remember, my character in the play was like a girl that was in a band, and then she got like called by a label in LA to go solo.
Oh, that's right. That was totally the thing. Ooh.
Ouchie. So I Ironies. Was like, oh no. Oh no, I've actualized it.
What is your time since you moved to Los Angeles? If you had to like boil down anything that like you've absolutely learned that blew your mind.
I think leaving Seattle to move to Los Angeles felt necessary because I was feeling really stuck and stagnant in my own identity. I felt like I was kind of like trapped in a mirrored box, and I couldn't get past who I was in the moment, and I really desired to be a speck in the ocean that is Los Angeles. And I grappled with like loneliness and isolation in a way that I never would have had I not left Seattle, because the city is just so connected, and I mean, you can't leave your crib without seeing three people you know.
Right.
So it's like, I think I obviously had a deeper appreciation for like the community here, and knowing that I'm not willing to depart from that community. Mm-hmm. This community is so important to me. I think Los Angeles, I had to be a stronger person in my own right in a lot of ways. I think, I don't know if I would have done my solo project if I hadn't left Seattle. Like, I don't know if I would have tried to like strengthen my resolve in a way. And I think LA it's a really tough place to be, especially if you're somebody who loves to be around other people, because it's so disparate and it's just difficult. Like, the distance is so real. But I think it strengthened me because it took away all of the things I used to lean on, and that kind of like prevented my own growth in a certain sense, or a hard look at who I am as a creative and as a person. And I mean, now I'm really thankful. It's now that we can travel again. Like, it's the perfect counterbalance. Like, being able to come home to Seattle and then also come home to Los Angeles, like, it feels, for me, my Gemini self, it feels really like a lovely balance. And I feel still like I never felt disconnected from Seattle, and I still feel really connected to Seattle and the work that I do and the people that I work with. But I think that, LA, because of how kind of like isolated it is, I had to fight harder to understand myself and to define what happiness meant for me, frankly, in a way that I kind of felt like in Seattle it just like was, you know. I always miss the pho though. I literally eat pho every night when I'm here.
You got to.
Yeah.
When I think about that, I talk about this actually all the time. If I wasn't here and I've not been here, the things that I miss the most, pho, just Vietnamese food in general of a certain caliber.
Right.
Ethiopian food.
Oh, straight up.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And, of course, the Seattle dog. Things like that. I actually thought about starting a Seattle dog cart in Arizona.
There you go.
I actually might try to execute that one day. Don't tell nobody.
I will, yeah. IP's safe here on the podcast.
Don't say it all day.
I'm dead.
That was Larry Mizell Jr. talking with Hollis back in October. She released a new album on Friday. Here's her song, Let Me Not.
out the window.
Let me not bring down the vibe.
That was Sound and Vision. I'm Larry Mizell Jr. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And if you have the means, please consider giving a one-time $20 donation to support this podcast at kexp.org/sound. Thanks for listening.